Blog Talk Radio.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.
To another edition of Main Street Universe. My name is Daniel Michael, and joining me right now is my hostess and associate producer, Janice R. White. Welcome, Janice.
Welcome, everybody.
And there on the phone lines, I believe, is Brett Tillman. Are you there, Brett?
I am here.
All right, good to hear your voice again. And right before we get started, just want to let everybody know that our guest this evening is the pagan band Plata D. But right before we bring them on, I want to remind everyone that Main Street Universe is now a network of 6 shows, starting on Wednesday evenings, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, with the flagship show, the one that started it all, right here, the one you're listening to, co-founded by myself and Kevin Baird, Main Street Universe. And for those unaware or listening for the first time, we're doing this show from a music studio, Cafe Fairfax, and I'm right in front of a drum kit, and Janice has a little bell over there. So, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, we've had some amazing guests. We recently had Amber Kay, Deepest of Waters from Wild Hunt. We've had Chris Penzack, Oberon Zell Ravenheart, Dr. Zohar Hieronymus, a Kabbalistic expert, expert beekeeper, Mr. Gunther Hauk, featured in the movie Queen of the Sun, a Fellowship of Isis panel, and so much more. Selena Fox is another one. And by the way, Janice was on Selena Fox's show last night,
where we're talking about pagan equality.
Yeah.
And speaking of equality, the reason why I have the bell is I went to the 50th anniversary march of I Have a Dream.
Awesome.
And we did a little bell thing at 3 o'clock.
That's right. Yeah, I remember on the show with Selena, you guys did a little bell thing as well towards the end of the episode. So great that you could get back out there for the march.
Yes.
Again.
In the rain. But it was all good.
One of the cool things about living here, because Janice is here live with me in the studio, one of the cool things about living here in the Northern Virginia, D.C. area is you're kind of near a lot of things like that, so you get to go and experience them. So anyway, back to our network plugs. The following day, Thursday, at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, as of now, our only daytime show, which is Queen Mother Imaku with her show Uatua. She is a high priestess for the Kemetic tradition, which is all about tracing back the roots of the Egyptian pantheons and Egyptian magic and spirituality, the African-Egyptian connection. Because remember, folks, Egypt is, in fact, in Africa. People think Middle Eastern, and it's African.
Part of Africa at one time.
So interesting perspective, even for, you know, veteran pagans, you get a really interesting take on the Egyptian spirituality and the Egyptian symbolism and what happened to the statues and all sorts of things. But 1 p.m. Eastern Time, Queen Mother Imaku. And probably the only one of our hosts who's actually featured as a picture on a tarot card. She's the official Queen of Cups on the New York tarot deck.
Yes, she's on a tarot card.
So, 1 p.m. On Fridays, midnight, we have Jesse Ann Nichols-George with Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. Jesse is the author of two books, Activating Compassion and Activating Compassion, the Companion Workbook. Check her out. She's an amazing intuitive reader as well, when she feels like opening up the lines for that. She's a very good reader.
She's a very good reader.
And life coach and other sorts of things. Great advice, also issues of charity and nature. So Jesse Ann Nichols George, Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. Then on Sundays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time is Mr. Darren Boucaire, calling in all the way from the magical city of
New Orleans, Louisiana.
And Marie Laveau's House of Voodoo in New Orleans, where
it's a cool place.
Darren is one of the palmistry readers and tarot readers there, and he's mostly a divination show. People call him for readings and divinations, but he discusses topics as well. So that's 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Mr. Darren Boucaire. All right, and then on Monday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Time is Walking on the Sidewalk, A Horizon Oracle's Journey, with your host,
Kevin Baird,
who's the co-founder of this network, along with myself. I met Kevin at the local New Age shop down the street.
Sticks and Stones.
That's right, and we were going to just start doing meditation CDs and just to do, because we have a studio here, and we started talking so much, we decided to start a talk show, and we never got down to doing the CDs. So anyway, Kevin Baird, Monday evening, 8 p.m., you can find him at www.templeofgaia.com. He is also an artist and does some other interesting things
as
well.
Beautiful art, actually.
He does some interesting stuff, absolutely. I have one of his pieces he gave me before he left town, actually.
Oh.
So then, of course, on Tuesdays, our newest addition to the Main Street Universe Network. Very proud to have and honored to have Susan Weed, the master herbalist and naturalist, to join us for a little half-hour educational show, a power plant series that she's continuing to do with us. Right now, we're in the midst between part one and part two of tea, the magical and healing properties of tea, as well as those to be aware of as far as overuse, which is part of the theme of all of these power plants in the power plant series. We started with coffee, we'll go to tea, we'll drift to hallucinogens and everything else.
Eventually.
So it's all things that affect the mind, these power plants. So Susan Weed joining us on Main Street Universe every Tuesday evening at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And that makes up for now, there's another one or two on the way, including the World Reggae Party.
World Reggae Party with Goddess Janice.
Goddess Janice, as well as another one that might be sort of themed around UFOs and such like that, but we're still in the works. So, our guests this evening are musicians, and as I sometimes say when I bring a guest on, I will let them describe themselves rather than myself. And let's go ahead and welcome Tawatha D. Here's your symbol.
Tawatha D.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you for letting us have you. Bump, bump.
So I guess we'll start off really simply, and then we'll get to some songs as well. We have a bunch ready to go here in the queue. But we'll start right off with a brief description. How did y'all meet?
Well, the meeting, all of us meeting, was a really simple thing because we're all family, we're all related.
Okay.
we met through, you know, accidents of birth and marriages and that sort of thing. But,
okay.
So the group itself, so it came together sort of organically about 3 years ago when started experimenting with drums and using them as a catalyst for communication. We've been drumming in drum circles and stuff. And we all just sort of started bringing other instruments into the group just to kind of play around. None of it was intentional at all. And music just kind of started happening organically. But we've all been together. The group consists of myself and my wife, my daughter, my son, his wife, my sister-in-law, and her husband. So, that's the lineup anyway, the current lineup. We've been through a few evolutions, friends and family, but that's the current lineup of the band.
Mm-hmm. And that's going to happen. I know I'm a musician myself, and I'm actually working on transitioning on playing more and doing my day job
right.
Continuously less.
Yeah.
which will bring me to my next question, and then we'll start in on a song maybe. And I'm curious, are you full-time musicians?
We are currently. About a year ago, we made a conscious decision. I said it's all been organic. It's sort of an organic journey. And up to that point, we were all maintaining our mundane day jobs and such. But people seem to like what we were doing, and we love doing what we're doing. So as you talked about, it made a transition. And when we did, we had to make the conscious decision that, you know, this is what we were going to do. And so for about a year now, we have been full-time musicians.
That is great, and I encourage people so much to be like that, because part of our mission statement at Main Street Universe here when we started this little radio network was for people to look inside themselves, you know, and to make their own life. And so our little show's motto is the mysteries and possibilities of the universe are closer to Main Street than you may have ever imagined. So
yes.
The point is having a part in changing your life. And I know it's not easy. I'm doing it now, and it's tough. I mean,
very tough.
I'm an electrician, and I'm trying to fade away from that and just be an artist. All my artistic things, voiceover, radio, music, everything I want to do artistically, just make that my life and do that for money. So
yeah.
I commend you guys on making that leap and that commitment.
Well, thank you. I won't say it's not difficult at times, but, it's what we like to do, and we've been fortunate. And that's the way we look at it. We've been fortunate enough to have the opportunity. So we're going to run with it as long as it'll let us run.
Yes.
And I saw you posted something, and it was so funny how when things happen and you start meeting someone or they become involved in your life in some way, and I'm like, oh, Tuatha Dee's coming up on our show. And then I saw you posted, you guys had put together the song The Gales from Last of the Mohicans, and I had just done that recently with a friend too and played it out at a show recently too. So I always loved that song and that melody. I used to jog to that soundtrack, to the Last of the Mohicans soundtrack. I used to run to it, you know. And
yeah, it's a very powerful piece, and we kind of played around with the idea of doing something with it a while back, and then we've been on the road for about 3 weeks now straight, just got back in, and while we were out, we said, you know what, let's just test it and see what happens. We can always go back to the drawing board, but I think it came out okay, and I always love the song. It's got good energy, and seems to bring, I don't know, just it's got a good vibe, good feel, good energy. It's a strong piece of music, so.
Powerful.
Yeah,
It's both subtle and powerful. It's like subtle and kind of pretty and kind of powerful, kind of all wrapped up into one. It's called The Gales, right? Isn't that what it's called?
Well, I think it's got a couple of different names. I've heard it called The Gale. I've heard it called Promontory. I've been told that there's actually two separate pieces of music, and this is how little I know. I know we just kind of, there's two separate pieces of music that were actually put together for the soundtrack. One was called The Gale, one was called Promontory, but don't quote me on that because that's you know, given information that I received somewhere else that I haven't researched for myself.
It's quite all right. I'm not classically trained, sir. You have nothing to fear here. Anyway, let's go on and go ahead and play a song. I'm going to go ahead and go down the list here. We have a few of them. And I'm going down. We're right at the bottom. Okay. Now, we'll start off. This first one that I have on the list, it's called Aradia, and maybe you can talk about Aradia a little bit and what motivated or inspired this song.
Sure. That was off of our last CD that we did, and that was one that the whole CD, matter of fact, we're extremely proud of. Being fortunate enough over the last 3 years to play a lot of places, we had the opportunity to meet a lot of amazing artists and to get to know them. And we decided we wanted to put something together. It's not really a collaboration, but it is a collaboration. We started writing music with other artists in mind. And in the case of Aradia, that was one where we had met and talked to Wendy Rule, and she had agreed to come in and record with us. And, of course, Aradia is the goddess of witches, and it's taken from Italian tradition. And always had, even though we're sort of we have a Celtic background ourselves, always have been infatuated with that whole perspective of witchcraft and got caught up with the story of Diana and Aradia and all that. So anyway, we wanted to write that piece of music. We felt like it had a vibe that would work with Wendy, and then Wendy came in and recorded it with us.
Okay.
Wendy who?
Wendy Rule?
Oh, okay. I had no idea.
She agreed to be a future guest, by the way.
Yes, she did.
Anyway, and before we get to the song, I realize I just overlooked something. I've been talking to you. I think there's more people there. Maybe everybody could go around the table and introduce themselves from the band.
Yeah. I have a question for Rebecca.
Yeah, that's me. I'm here.
Yes.
We've got
Who else is there?
They're really quiet unless you direct something directly to them.
I'm Kathy, Rebecca's sister.
Okay.
I'm Chris. He's very quiet, so you have to really direct stuff to him.
Oh, my God. There's millions of people listening here. Speak up. Come on.
Speak up. We're all family here. Come on. Ring the bell. Here we go. We're all family here.
All right.
Well, and my daughter's here, too, but she stepped out of the room for just a second. Her name is Tosia, so...
Okay. Well, we're going to go ahead and play this song, Aradia, from Tuatha Dé. We'll be back in just a few moments.
once in the month, and when the moon is full, ye shall assemble in some desert place, or in a forest, all together join to adore the potent spirit of thy queen. My mother, great Diana, she who fain would learn all sorcery, yet has not won their deepest secrets, then, my mother, teach her, in truth, all things as yet unknown, and ye shall be free from slavery, and so ye shall be free in everything. And as the sign that ye be truly free, ye shall be naked in thy right, both men and women also. And this shall last until the last of thy oppressors shall be dead. And ye shall make a game of Benevento, extinguishing the light. And after that, ye shall hold thy supper thus.
D, and welcome back, everyone. I think all mics are about to turn on. Sometimes they're a little slow moving.
Yeah.
There they are. And that was Aradia from Twatha D. Welcome back.
Welcome back. Well, I have a few questions.
Go ahead, Jimmy.
Okay. First of all, how did you come up with the name Twatha D?
That was really easy.
Okay.
We took it from Celtic mythology. And it's a shortening of the name Tuatha De Danann.
Okay.
And which is the Celtic mythology. And Tuatha De Danann means children of the goddess Danu, or Dana. And we've got a pretty strong Celtic heritage,
mm-hmm.
even though we're an eclectic group and we kind of pull from everything. we just shortened it a little bit to where the actual translation of it, it's ancient Irish is what the name is. And none of us pronounce it correctly. The true pronunciation would be done with in Gaelic, and it would be Tuatha De, but nobody will ever remember that. So we've kind of anglicized it, but it translates roughly into children of the gods.
Children of the gods. I like that. Very cool. And I have a question for your wife, Rebecca, because she's the first person I met from your group.
Hello.
Yes, hello. How are you doing? And that's not the question, but how are you doing?
I have to get really close to the phone because I've messed up my throat.
yes, I can hear a little scratchy throat there.
I sound like I smoke a lot.
you probably don't smoke at all. Yes? No?
Just a little.
A little. Okay. Okay.
Anyway.
Well, my question is, how do you feel about being on the road? Because I know that this weekend myself, I was traveling a bit. to go to things for the Fellowship of Isis and switching gears and going into the family mode, because I went to my cousin's wedding in Norfolk, then, you know, spending some time in Virginia Beach, then, you know, coming back home like normal people. So I know that sometimes that your travels take you much farther than Richmond, because you're from Tennessee, right?
Yes. Yes, we all live here in Gatlinburg, Tennessee.
Yes. So when you want to talk about a little bit of your experiences in being on the road and how you like being on the road, or maybe how you don't like being on the road.
Well, no, I like being on the road because I'm very fortunate, as we mentioned earlier, Danny mentioned earlier, that we are a family. So
mm-hmm.
I get to spend a lot of time with my family.
Mm-hmm.
The only downside to that aspect is, yes, I have another daughter who is 13 years old, and I miss her a lot when I'm out on the road. But I get to have these wonderful experiences in all these different places that we visit. And, well, first of all, everybody that we meet out on the road, they're wonderful. They're wonderful people. You get to know a lot of people in different ways. They very kind spirits. And I feel fortunate to be able to see the good that's, you know, out there in the world.
Oh, there's a lot of good, actually, out there in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, and like I said, I feel very fortunate that I get to actually get to see that with my own eyes. You know, you don't just hear about it, you see it.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough, though. We have a gypsy life. Travel around all cramped up in a van.
Yes.
I was going to say, the advantages is you're with family, and the disadvantages is you're always with your family.
You're with family, yeah. Advantage. And disadvantage, you're with family. So, yes.
There's no barriers. We are family, so we don't have filters on ourselves. The tensions get high in a crowded van.
Oh, yes. I'm sure.
But, you know, every once in a while you'll turn around and people are laughing and cutting up with each other and just having a great time. So you get to have that. It's the best of both worlds, sort of.
Yes. Cool. And how did you start actually playing at PSG? Or people who don't know what PSG is, Pagan Spirit Gathering.
We were, I'll take that one because it was, I knew Selena before, of course, PSG, Pagan Spirit Gathering. That's, Selena Fox is a big force there. And,
very big and force,
part of that,
yeah.
Created that. And I had the fortune to know Selena before we were ever a band. And so when, very early on with the group, when we formed, I had just kind of touched base with her, and she had invited us to come to PSG for the first time. And I really have to credit Selena with a lot of what's happened to us, because at that point we were sort of sight unseen, you know, except
okay.
for locally. And,
yeah.
You know, there was, we were new. We'd only been around as a band for about, I think it was around 8 months at that point. And Selena just kind of said, yeah, come on out to PSG. And we came in and played the first year. And it, of course, we've been back now 3 years in a row, so we must
yeah.
have done something right, or at least made her happy. But that was how that came about.
Yeah.
Now, without you divulging too much specific information, you might not want to divulge on the air. Is a lot of your gig touring, or at least huge parts of it, involving like pagan fest circuits, festival circuits? Is it kind of a mix of different things?
It's a mix. We started out primarily, you know, in the pagan circuit, and we do sort of, we've got some sort of rollover music, and because of the Celtic music that we integrate in, or I should say the non-traditional Celtic music, because we don't do anything traditionally,
right.
We also do Celtic festivals and Highland games and that sort of thing as well. And also we play pubs and bars because we're able to kind of overflow there too. I was once asked, well, many times I've been asked what style of music we play, and we have a hard time defining ourselves because we started as a drum circle. We picked up on some Celtic stuff early on, mixed in some rock, and then we like to, you know, write involving our pagan roots and stuff. And the best description I've ever heard, somebody else labeled us Celtic tribal gypsy rock. And I don't know if that really fits or not, but it's the best we've been able to come up with. So
sounds good to me.
Well, it is a lot of pagan festivals, but there's some other things too. So there's some rollover into mainstream stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
Festivals are some of my favorite types of gigs to play. They're just fun. There's a lot of people milling around, and I've always enjoyed. Now, I haven't ever played a pagan festival, but I've played at different bohemian festivals, you know, or whatever. And
right.
Being part of those is just a lot of fun, and I really enjoy this kind of gig. They don't always pay. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes it's a place to crash. But they're sometimes the funnest gigs to play, you know, and a lot of sort of traded hospitality going on and things like that.
It is, and you know, that's the cool thing about music. I mean, music is universal. And
very much so.
That I, it is.
And
I
realized that with my other show, World Reggae Party, how universal music is.
Yeah, because it touches every. I know we've been to some pretty mainstream gigs, and we don't refrain from playing our pagan music. Because once you kind of get going, people are just into what's happening. And I love the fact that it crosses so many bridges. You can take music and you can actually go places with it and say things that you want to say, and people seem to be more open to it. And we've tried to use that sort of as a catalyst too. And if you've never played pagan events, you really should, because those are amazing experiences. It's the best crowds ever. People are generally far more open and accepting of whatever you do and respectful of it, and seem to, and the pagan fans, they're the most amazing, supportive group of people you'll ever encounter.
And I've been to PSG 4 times. This year was my 4th time, and they usually have very big crowds for the concerts, especially the concerts at night, because normally you would go and you would do classes all day or shopping all day or whatever all day. And when the sun goes down, you need something to help you unwind because, you know, they do have the restrictions about alcohol and other things. So, you know, you can get a really nice thing like the Aradia that we played a couple minutes ago and just mellow out. And I know this year at PSG it was you and it was Murphy's and Spiral Rhythm. I believe.
Our Rhythm, Delia,
yeah.
And Rocky Dinky was there. Beltana Spellstainer, there's a lot of, and one of our favorite things, and I should mention this while I've got the opportunity, while it's on my mind, one of our favorite things is that our community can meet all these other artists and entertainers, and, you know, one of our goals is to with them as well, because that's one of our favorite things, that whole integration, that whole community spirit. And that's one of our favorite parts of all this stuff.
Yeah, it is a nice thing. One thing I remember in an interview with Ronnie James Dio years ago, when they said, what will you miss the most about if you ever stop doing this? And he said, the camaraderie between all of my fellow musicians, you know, being out on the road, us against the world kind of stuff. And it is an interesting thing.
It's fun. It's just, he's right, the opportunity to meet all of these great musicians, like I was mentioning earlier. The whole getting to meet new people, the one of the big things is being honored to be able to meet the artists, the different artists out in the community. And, you know, we're still waiting to meet certain ones for sure, because working with this last CD, working with all of the artist that helped us with all the music on the last CD, it blows your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get that in every single genre. I mean, we're very fortunate
mm-hmm.
to meet these people, and there's no competition with each other. Everybody's, it's the best of them.
And we've had Kellyanna on the show as well, and she was very nice. So
yeah.
That was pretty convenient for us because she was playing in town the same week she was on the show, so I also got to go see her at the local New Age shop in person and talk to her for a while, and she was very cool to talk to. We had Woven Green on a while back, who's local, but they're kind of uprising a little bit, and that was the opening song, was our
yes. first
Woven Green,
Sun.
The Sixth Sun.
Sixth Sun.
But let's talk about another song, guys. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put it in your hands at time. I'll mention the ones I have here.
And you get to pick.
And I'll let you guys pick which one we
oh,
do
no.
next, which one you're feeling more. This one is the one I can't pronounce. Oh, wait, it's Kawaliza. Bagaby.
I like Bagaby.
Hypocritical. The Irish Hand Fasting. Mavis McGee. Mission Magoo. And Tonight are the ones we have there.
That's a hard one to pick.
How about the Hand Fasting?
You won't have. Did you say? Yeah, Irish Hand Fasting.
Okay.
Irish Hand Fasting. All right.
All right. So,
then Bugatti, then.
Well, okay. Denise is making the decisions now. So okay. She feels empowered today. She even was here early today.
I got the march on.
That's right.
I feel very
she
empowered.
She's marching in here. But anyway, we'll be right back. We'll play the song. Hello, Veronica. I see you in the chat room. And we'll be right back, and maybe you can talk about the song a little bit when we come back. Thank you. right. We are back with myself, Denise, Mr. Brett Hillman, who's getting a little rowdy over there, and Tuatha D, the band. Welcome, everyone.
Welcome.
And that song, I noticed, like in some of your songs that I've listened to, is that, and this would maybe make it different from my own personal music, is some of your songs, and I'm not all, but some of them almost sound like they could be used in a ritualistic or magical practice fashion because they have a certain trance-like quality to them.
I was going to ask that.
Any comments on that?
Yeah, actually, I'm glad you actually you said that. We have written some songs purposefully, well, I say purposefully, in hopes of that they would have that sort of impact and vibe to them. We did a quarter call at one point that the hopes were that it would be able to be something that would be able to be used musically for calling the quarters. And Denise mentioned Bhagavi earlier, and that's actually taken from an ancient chant for calling the ancestors during ritual. So I don't want to say that it's like a specific purpose when we do this, but it's kind of in the back of our minds when we're writing music that we'd like it to be something that can be used for, you know, in multimedia purposes.
Cool.
Oh, it also could be used well for, say, a movie soundtrack or something of that nature.
That would be great.
Very much a soundtrack. Has anybody introduced you for? Yes. Anybody has asked you to do a soundtrack or help them with a soundtrack?
We have done that once with a local independent group out of Knoxville, Tennessee. They actually they didn't ask us to do a soundtrack, but they asked if they could use some of our music in a movie that they created. And again, it was an independent film company locally, and they did a post-apocalyptic Macbeth. And
interesting.
They asked if they could use our music in that, and they did. So we have been approached by it. It has been done, just not on a major level.
Here's an idea for you, because I'm going to use this idea for myself, and I don't mind sharing ideas. Because you know how they say there's a lot of markets where music doesn't necessarily sell like it used to. It used to be the record business. You sold records. You sold CDs. And one of my ideas, and you guys were almost perfect for this with your sort of thematic music, could maybe even thinking of video games. Certain video games, and maybe if you could approach somebody of being like theme music or the music behind certain scenes of video games, that's something I've considered.
You're absolutely right. You're actually the second person that's brought that to us as a possibility. And I don't know where it's at this point, but I know that one of our web designer, a guy by the name of Jonathan Scott, who does our web page and created a web for the tribe, which is actually a conglomeration of musicians coming together. He had approached me about it at one point. I know he was talking to somebody about it. So, yeah, it's a great idea, and I appreciate you reiterating it because it kind of dropped off my radar, but you're absolutely right. These days, that's what a lot of people are doing with their music.
Yeah, because finding those markets is interesting because there's the obvious market, and that's you going out with the but years of playing. And then there's all the other little things that are out there, and some of them can turn out to be really big for you. It's just a matter of finding whatever the new music business is, which is an interesting thing, because when I was a kid, it was all about selling, well, I'm 42, so it was about selling records and then cassette tapes and then CDs.
Yeah, it's all changed. It's all changed dramatically. I know that back in the 80s, I was involved in bands and stuff. Back then, you're right. You were shooting for getting the attention of some label or somebody who could promote music and make at that point in time, it wasn't CDs.
Cassette tape.
Get your music out. Now it's a more independent field, and it's evolving, and you're right, it's changing to the point that it's not the same game that it used to be, and I think it's in the evolutionary stages where we really don't know where it's going to end up going. I know the independent artist is coming back. I think that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, I do too.
right, Janice?
Yes. Well, I also wanted to talk about last year at PSG, you and Rebecca got handfasted, if I remember correctly. And this year, your son, Chris, hopefully.
I'm my son, Brandon.
Brandon, okay. Forget I said Chris. Got handfasted this year at PSG. So talk about the handfasting tradition at PSG or why you feel for 2014, is there going to be another child that's going to come out and get handfasted as well?
You know, there is a possibility of that, although I haven't approached Selena.
Okay. Boom, boom, boom.
I mean,
I'm about to ring the bell. Here we go. Ring the bell. Okay.
The band is primarily made up of, you know, we're family. And within the current band, there are three couples, two of which are already handfasted. And Selena, she was gracious as to both handfastings at PSG. First, me and Rebecca, and then, as you mentioned this year, Brandon and Nikki. All are members of the group. And in Brandon's case, Brandon met Nikki the year that Rebecca and were handfasted. Yeah, at our handfasting. And a year later, they were handfasted. And so it is becoming something of a tradition group.
That's what I'm saying, you know. Go ahead.
We're going to run out of people pretty soon, so I don't know what we'll do at that point.
Well, you know, my friends from PSG is like, oh, you're going to get ham-fasted at PSG. I'm like, no, I have too much family, and they're not going to really understand, and I'm not in the mood to explain it to them. So, I don't know. Selena's kind of all for it, but I don't know. I'm from a big family, so I think it's going to be more of a wedding than a ham-fasting.
Right.
So. But, yes, I did know that there was a little bit of a tradition going on there.
Well, and in our case, as Rebecca mentioned earlier, I mean, the majority of the family, we understand exactly where you're coming from because there were certain people in the family that couldn't be present for our hand fastings that we really regret, and we'll probably do something local, you know, at some point. But the fortunate aspect of it is that most of us, the grand majority of us are there together anyway, so it makes it a little bit easier for us than it would for someone else.
Yeah, I missed Brandon and Nikki's hand fasting because I think I came the day after. Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. I think I came the day after, actually. So I missed it. So I know I was there for Minerva and what was her name? Oh, I'm forgetting the other woman's name. I was there for their hand fasting, but I wasn't there for Brandon and Nikki's. But I read all about it through Witchbox and the writer that was writing for that. And they had pictures, and it seemed to be a really nice event. And I know PSG does have really nice hand fastings.
Well, they are, and the beautiful thing, for me and Becca, we've talked about this, about the hand fastings as opposed to the traditional weddings, is that the whole community tends to get involved in the hand fasting. And you actually have the interaction. You know, it's not so much of an audience as it is an interactive thing. And I love that. We found it beautiful at our hand fasting. That's what prompted Brandon and Nikki want to do it too. And at PSG, you've got such an amazing community anyway. So they all got involved, and you have this interaction from the people that are there. And even people you've met for the first time, you know, are touched, and they become part of it with you. It's hard to get anywhere else, you know. And so we really – by the way, the song that you just played, Hand Fasting Song, just as an afternote to that, that was actually presented at the beginning phases of that was presented at mine and Rebecca's hand fasting by members of the group who worked it up, Chris and Brandon and gift part of it, and then we went ahead and wrote the song so that it was and played it for for the first time at Brandon and Nikki's Hand Fasting. So the song you just played, it seemed to go hand in hand with what you were talking about, so I thought I'd just comment on that.
Oh, very well. I like that.
Right.
I thought it was a very beautiful song.
Yeah, it's very nice. And I'd like to now... Go ahead, please.
Well, it was...
Go ahead.
I'm sorry?
You were going to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to add that it was another one, too, that we did on the last CD, which we did with other artists. And I should mention that Dave the Bard out of England is actually on that song as well. He's playing guitar and mandolin and actually singing backups. So that was another one that that we worked with other artists on.
All right, and we'll move on now to another song.
Bengali.
Bugatti. We got it. Okay, we'll do that one and maybe a little explanation of that after it's done. And everybody take a break here and listen to this interesting tune here, Bugatti. We'll be back in a minute.
All right.
All right, everybody, we are back on the air, and that was Bagabi, and I was wondering maybe if you could state again.
State again, share for our listeners.
The inspiration for that song. When I turn the mic all the way back on.
Yes.
Then you can state it. It's going back on now. Sometimes they spin. If you know these Blog Talk Radio controls.
Yes, this controls.
Right. Anyway, go ahead.
To control us, not the radio, actually.
Well,
so what was
song,
the inspiration for that song? Because I love that song. Because, in my opinion, it has a lot of good beats, like African beats. So is there any type of story based on that song that you want to share?
There's a pretty amazing story. We didn't literally write it. And Bagabi is an ancient chant that's a lot of variant pagan traditions over just years and years and years. It's so old that etymologists are at odds at over what the language actually is. So we're not really sure what the pronunciation is either. We just created a pronunciation. But I've seen it used in traditional rituals before, just spoken, never played as music, and always was drawn to it. While they don't know what the words actually mean, there's a pretty strong consensus that what it represents is a calling of the ancestors. In other words, it's usually when the veil is thinnest, when it was traditionally done in ritual, Beltane or Samhain, and it's a call out to the ancestors to join whatever your celebration is, your ancestors and such. When we started putting together... When we realized we wanted to do something with it, we knew it had to be something very tribally vibed, and so that's where the strong drum. It's one of our stronger drum songs. We do several like that. It's one of those because the drums have that universal feel and vibe, and we wanted to catch that tribal flow to it. So we used primarily tribal instruments like the African drums, and there's a didgeridoo, Australian didgeridoo in it. I think. The only traditional instrument we used was a bass guitar, but that's kind of the story of Bagabi. It's used in ritual to call the ancestors.
Okay.
Very cool.
Yeah, and again, I think one of the interesting things, we had a guest on, I believe it was Jason Pitzel-Waters, was discussing, and maybe a little bit Amber Kay when she was with us, and they were discussing how some pagan music had started, like so much of it was meant for ritual practice, kind of like we mentioned earlier. But I think it's kind of cool that you guys kind of cross over. So you do some things that are, yeah, we do some things that are a little crossover. And like you said, you can also play in a pub if you got to. But you can still break down and do something that could maybe be used during a meditation or, you know, a chant or a circle or whatever the case may be. So it's... to me, it's interesting to have that duality and to have that dual purpose and focus, however intentional it is. I'm sure it just sort of happens naturally as you're like, all right, this is what this one's going to be.
Yeah, they kind of write themselves to some extent. You know, you can start at, I guess it's like everything. It starts out with an intention and then just kind of creates itself. So, and with the group being what it is, we range in ages from 20 all the way to 50, so there's a 30-year span there, and you've got a lot of different influences. And so it may start out with the idea, you know, coming from one place, and then all these eclectic viewpoints get brought into it musically and otherwise. So it's an organic thing, but I'm glad that it does do that. I'm glad that it does reach across and that we've been fortunate enough to create some stuff that does that.
And an interesting thing you mentioned was the different ages of your band. And I wanted to get into that for those just listening and that aren't familiar with Tuatha Dé, that being that you guys have, is it six or seven people in your band?
There's actually eight.
Eight. Oh, my gosh. I was in one with six or seven.
I was thinking it was eight, but so.
All right. That must be tough dividing up the money at the end of the night after talking to the greedy club owner.
Oh, it's not so tough dividing it up. It's just that you don't walk away with a lot.
It's easy to divide up not that much money.
Eight people.
We actually started out. We started out as a drum circle. So eight is actually the small number of the band. When we started out, we were 13.
I love the number 13, actually.
I do, too. And yeah. It kind of evolved from there because, you know, as time went by, and we mentioned earlier that we had to make a conscious decision, you know, what we were going to do. And so some members couldn't continue on and take those steps because of other commitments. And it kind of weeded itself down to eight. Now, we played as small as five. For smaller things, for smaller venues and such. But the actual overall number of the band is eight, at least right now.
And that's still a lot, especially when you're dedicating to being full-time. Of course, what's interesting about your act is you're a family unit kind of working together, not a whole bunch of big egos coming in all separately, even though there might be egos involved, I'm just saying. But your
egos are involved, no.
But you're a unit working together, so that's... That's an interesting dynamic, really. I'm like, I'll be jumping out into the music world as, you know, some guy trying to keep my apartment by myself doing a solo act.
Yeah.
So.
But you also have your brother. Your brother's
right.
talented.
Oh, there's interesting people around here, definitely,
yes.
to work with. But I say we move to another song, and this one, I just want to choose this one just because of its name, and this one is... Hypocritical.
Oh, yes.
And,
hypocritical Mass.
Yeah, hypocritical Mass, sorry.
Yeah.
And maybe you can explain this one a little bit, and then we'll play it.
Okay. You want me to do it now or afterwards?
Yeah.
That one, too, is off the last CD. Now, there's another act on there with us that you may recognize the names. It's Murphy's Midnight Rounders.
Yes. I got to meet them at PSG this year. They were really cool. Brad was very cool.
We met Brad back at our first when we started doing collaboration. Knew we wanted to work with Murphy's.
We're breaking up a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry. Am I coming through better now?
Yes, you're coming through better now.
Okay, I contacted Brad and told him I wanted to do something. I wanted to do something that had some substance, but if you know Murphy's, they're really good at poking fun at things, too. And we wanted to have a little bit of a kind of a fun vibe to it. And Hypocritical Mass is really, it does express our viewpoints. The words are primarily geared toward basically saying, hey, come on, get over yourself. Let's all just get along, basically, is the overall message of the song. But we wanted to do it in a farcical manner, almost. And so we put a blues tone to it, got Murphy's involved. They wrote the middle section, and we put it all together. They came up, recorded with us, and we put it all together. They wrote part of it, we wrote part of it, and it is what it is now. So,
cool. All right. That sounds fun. And it's always good to have a little bit of, you know, throw a little lightheartedness to a message, regardless of how scary sometimes, it just adds a certain bark to it, I think, you know.
Thanks.
All right, well, this is Hypocritical Mass by Tuatha Dé. We'll be back in a few moments. The band Tawatha D. We got about 12 minutes or something like that left over in our interview here. And I guess what I will say for now is something maybe you brushed on early on, is if Tawatha D, and this can be anyone there that's with you in the room.
Anybody can answer this one.
Had, I guess, what you call like a mission statement of some sort, of what would that be? What form would that take? What would be what Tawatha D is about and what they're trying to do in the closing minutes of this interview?
Well, if we had a statement to make, it would be simply unity and acceptance.
Okay.
The group itself is an eclectic mix. I mean, we're a family, and we don't impose any sort of views on each other. We just accept each other. It's, you know, with a family, it's kind of easy to do that. When you're a family, it's easy to be non-judgmental about
that. Not all the time.
What we hope that we're doing is, by example, using the drums, using music in some format as a catalyst to express that's our overall perspective. It's just simply that. Nothing more extravagant, nothing more complex. Just if we could all just sort of accept each other for who we are and what we are, and unify through that, you know. And it's easy to do in a drum circle. And that was what the drums taught us, is that you can take a drum circle anywhere and you can get community to build through rhythmic expression and rhythmic communication. And it crosses all these barriers, every barrier, I mean, age barriers, gender barriers, racial barriers, perspective barriers. And we've seen that happen. And we've actually been asked that question before. That's why we had a quick answer.
I was hoping I wasn't springing one on you too much. And one thing, when you said about the drum circle, and I agree totally, I love drum circles.
Love it.
And I also, there's another funny thing when you talked about that, is it reminded me of, I used to live in a little town right on the water, and this will make sense in a minute, and there's a whole bunch of boats there, and you know, the poles that stick up out of the boat, the masts or whatever it's called. Especially during the winter when the air was kind of thin and it would whip through it, it would all make this one, almost like this one giant unified note would go through. It would just be like this big, like, and it almost felt like the whole town had one unified note. It was a very interesting experience. I always loved walking around and hearing on a windy night when that would happen during this little town on the water. And it just felt like the town, oh, here's the town's song. Yeah, the town's. And it's similar in a drum circle, where it all sorts of become just sort of this one thing, even though it might be 13.
It's a perfect.
Go ahead.
Drums is that individual rhythms, and as long as we're all listening to each other for community.
You're breaking up a bit.
You're breaking up again.
Get back into the good spot.
Hello?
You're breaking up on us.
You're breaking up again on us. Danny?
Okay, we lost him. Well, you can call back. We are coming down to the closing minutes of the interview as it was. Oh, so they're back, I think. Let me get there. Hold on. Your microphone is on. Hello, are you back?
Hey, we dropped the call.
Yeah, it happened.
Yes. We figured that out.
That's cool. Well, what we'll do is, I guess, let's just close it now because we're coming down to the closing arguments anyway.
Question,
go ahead, Janice.
Okay. I know yesterday we talked, well, last night more like it, we talked, and you know I was going to do the show for Selena, and I was going to do the march, and I did both of them, actually. Okay. How do you see your music influencing possibly other races or other races, other relationships, other diversity, other groups, other dynamics, and what are you planning to do for the future musically?
Well, you know, I don't want to be so presumptuous as to assume that our music is that strong, but I would love for it to be.
Okay.
And I was kind of leading up to that with
the last little thing we were saying before we dropped the call, and I'll tell you what, I'll give you an example of our epiphany moment, and we hope that we can spread this epiphany moment for everyone else.
Okay.
And we live in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And that's a little way in the Smoky Mountains. Here we are in the Bible Belt. And when we first started playing, we were doing drum circles around town and different places, the community in general.
Okay.
And this is mainstream community. We were asked by the local farmer's market to come out and do a drum circle as sort of a form of entertainment. We did. And we took a bunch of chairs and a bunch of drums, and we set up, and we started drumming. And we started basically carnying people into the circle. Well, bear in mind, we're in Gatlinburg, and bear in mind, this is a farmer's market. So people weren't there to learn how to play an African drum, or they weren't interested in African drums.
Okay.
But we managed to coax in about 8 or 10 people that were there to buy vegetables. And so they're playing, and these people are probably in their 60s to their 80s. Your typical salt of the earth, white America down here in the South, and they're playing drums. Well, we're in Gatlinburg. It's also a tourist community. A couple of cars stopped, and we had, I don't know what their actual ethnicity was, but they were obviously Asian of some type, and they came in, and they started playing drums. And then we had another car stop, and it was an African-American couple from Chicago. And it turned out he was an actual musician and djembe player. He saw the drums and had to stop. So now they're playing in the circle, and there were still some drums left open, and we started noticing some people that were camping across the Little Pigeon River, and we motioned them over. They came over, and they were all Hispanic.
Mm-hmm.
And we played for about 30, 45 minutes, and everybody was playing, and they were laughing, and they're communicating, because you're communicating through rhythm, and they're having a great time. And the end result, after about 45 minutes, we found out that not only had that little drum circle for 45 minutes crossed age barriers and racial barriers and perspective barriers, I'm sure, but the Hispanic and the Asian couples couldn't speak English, so we had crossed language barriers. And these people probably never would have spoke to each other or had anything to do with each other, but for 45 minutes, we had a perfect world in a little round circle in the middle of Gatlinburg. And that was the moment we knew what we wanted to do. I hope that we're able to take that to other levels. That's our hope.
And I would like to say, and if we keep in contact after the show, I actually live, I rent in a basement apartment from two, not one, but two Unitarian ministers.
Yes.
So if you're ever in town.
Two ministers, trust me.
In the Northern Virginia area, then perhaps maybe we can get you a gig if we call and work it out ahead of time at the Unitarian Church, because sometimes they pay half decent and to use it even for a service or maybe even just a single concert or as part of a charity event. So maybe we can work together and maybe I can get you a gig or two if you happen to be swinging through town.
Swing by here, yeah.
We'd love to. And we're traveling a lot these days, so we'd love to.
Okay.
Well, I mentioned that when I was at PSG. It'd be cool if you had, kind of like a mini concert or even a full-blown concert here. Because I know there's people that love drum circles here. I know Sticks and Stones used to have one.
I think they still do.
Oh, okay.
But as far as a paying gig, I might be able to get a paying gig at one of the UU churches
yes.
or one of the events. But anyway, we'll talk about that at some other point. We're
right.
kind of wanting to come here, and I wanted to thank you all for...
Yes, thank you all for being interviewed by us, allowing us to interview you.
Thank you guys for having us. Thank you so much for the interest in playing the music and just having us here with you.
Thank you.
Yes, definitely.
And the song I'll end with, well, there's three choices here, Mavis McGee, Mission Magoo, and Tonight. Which one would you pick?
Well, based on the length of the song, I'd say go with Tonight. It's it was one we wrote to take to the main,
tonight.
But it has very, very strong pagan connotation, and it's one we managed to slip into all the pagan venues without them knowing it. I mean, all the mainstream venues without them knowing it.
Okay. Works for me.
All right, then. Well, everybody, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Danny and Rebecca and Chris.
And everyone
there.
Thanks to the audience. I see Veronica. I see Kevin. I see
Danny,
O'Donnell.
Frank, okay?
And to all the audience, you're listening to the Main Street Universe Radio Network, reminding you that the mysteries and possibilities of the universe are closer to Main Street than you can ever imagine.
Present.
Thank you and have a great evening.